So this week's portion, terumah, and terumah means contributions. It's, you know, we're getting it. Like I said during the little Torah drash, it's getting to that point where Moses is being told what to do in order to prepare the tabernacle, that building and all its furnishings, because, you know, they needed to get the materials from somewhere. And we read in Scripture where the materials come from. Exodus 25:1, it says this: Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell Bnei Israel to take up an offering for me. From anyone whose heart compels him, you are to take up my offering." So that's where the materials came from. Now, of course, originally these things all came from the Egyptians. As the Israelites were leaving out of bondage, they were told, go to your neighbors and ask for stuff. And the Egyptians willingly gave to them. Now, the Israelites are being asked to give out of a free will, as your heart compels, it says. That offering was different than a tithe. A tithe is a command. This was a free will offering. So there is some difference there. And here in the congregation and around congregations everywhere, they talk about taking up a tithe, right? We always say we're going to take up our tithes and our offerings. But the reality is, it's really a free will offering. No one's coming to you and say, hey, let me see your paycheck. Hey, let me see your tax returns. Let's make sure you're doing a real tithe here. No one does that. It's really a free will offering. We may say on the membership cards that as a member, you really are expected to give of your time, your talents, and your tithe. And I believe there's a blessing in a tithing. But you know, we understand it doesn't always happen. Not everyone tithes. Not everyone gives a full tithe. You know, I saw a video just this week that said the average tithe is only 2 to 2.5% of their income. 2 to 2.5%. Okay. Now, the Hebrew and the Greek word used for tithe simply means a tenth. Some interpret that scripture when they read about the tithing that it's really only about the stuff that grew out of the ground in Israel. In fact, one commentary said it this way: only those Israelites who earned a livelihood from farming and herding inside Israel were required to tithe under Mosaic law. Their increase came from God's hand. Those whose increase came from their own crafts and skills were not required to tithe products and money. Now, I have a problem with that. It does state correctly that the increase from the farming and the herding is from Adonai. No doubt about that. But then it states that your handiwork, your crafts, come, and your skills come from yourself. And I have a real problem with that. I think they come from Adonai as well. I don't think I could tie my shoes without Adonai, without the Ruach HaKodesh. I can't do anything on my own. In fact, even my shoes today are slip-ons, just in case. Nothing comes from me. I can't do anything without him. Therefore, I tithe on everything because it comes from him. What I would say is that Scripture sets up a principle to follow. It establishes that principle. Some take the word literally. Now, last week I spoke about metaphors in Scripture. And this could be included. I think tithing is really a metaphor. And Yeshua taught with metaphors as well, obviously. He said there were things in Torah, and he expanded on them as a metaphor. An example of this is Matthew 5:21. Yeshua said, "You've heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever commits murder shall be subject to judgment. But I tell you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be subject to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be subject to the council. And whoever says, you fool, shall be subject to fiery Gehenna." Yeshua states that he knows what Torah says, and he knows that there are people teaching that we should not kill. But Yeshua took that principle and expanded upon it so that it included hate. He used it as a metaphor and expanded on it. And that's what we can do as well. Now, I truly do believe in the principle of tithing. Regardless of what you give as an offering or what you call a tithing, it all comes down to your heart attitude. But I do believe in tithing a 10% tithe. Now, I say that, but I do not believe that by giving, if you find yourself unable to make your bills and you have to make that choice, you have obligations as well. So if giving a full 10% stops you from paying your obligations, give something. Show your heart attitude to Adonai. Show your appreciation to Adonai. But I'll also say this. If you are constantly not able to give a tithe of some kind, come and let's talk. Let's pray together. Let's find out why you're having these problems. Because I think, you know, there are always going to be situations and circumstances. You know, during when we started the COVID thing, I had said, I understand people are going to lose income. People are going to lose their jobs. And you can't tithe on nothing. You shouldn't tithe on nothing because you have no income. But there are times that your income may just be so low that you can't afford to give. Well, that may not be right. You may not be able to afford a tithe. Maybe you can throw $5 in. I think giving something to show your appreciation to Adonai is important. Now, this is not meant to step on people's toes. This is just meant to have you look inside your heart and see what's going on. Now, as clarification, Scripture speaks of both tithing and first fruits, and they're different. They're not the same. First fruits were just a small portion of what came out of the fields first. It's, you know, a first fruits would fit into a basket that you could carry to the altar. Tithing, obviously, if it's a full tenth, would be much different than that. So let's take a closer look at tithing. That's what we're going to do today. I know it's an uncomfortable discussion, but let's take a closer look at tithing, what Scripture says about it. Because tithing existed prior to the Torah being given. Prior to law, there was tithing. Now, the first offering was Cain and Abel. They didn't tithe, they made an offering. But the first tithe is actually Abraham, or Abram, as he was still called at the time. He had just returned from saving Lot, who was taken from Sodom during the battle between the kings in Genesis. And look what happened to Abram on his way home. Genesis 14, starting in 17. Now, after he returned from defeating Kedorlaomer, you know I practiced this. It's got more than two syllables. Kedorlaomer, and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sheba. This is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of El Elyon. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Aaron by El Elyon, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be El Elyon, who gave over your enemies into your hands." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Melchizedek in the Old Covenant really is only spoken about right here. Not very much, but he's a very important type or character who represents within Scripture. He's given much more in the New Covenant than he is in the Old Covenant. More words, more description in the Brit HaKadoshah. Therefore, being he was the type of, for Adonai or Yeshua, it was only right to tithe to him. And we say, how do we know this? Because it's explained in Hebrews 7. A lot of that, almost that whole chapter is given over to Melchizedek. So let's take a look at just the start of Hebrews 7, starting in verse 1. For this Melchizedek was king of Salem, Kohen of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And to him, Abraham apportioned a tenth of everything. First, by the translation of his name, he is King of Righteousness. Then also King of Salem, which is King of Shalom. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like Ben Elohim, he remained a Cohen for all time. He didn't have a beginning, he didn't have an end that we're told about. It's just like Yeshua and Adonai, no beginning and no end. This is why he's a type. He was given the tithe because he was the priest of El Elyon, God Most High. He's actually given two names, as indicated the importance. First name was Melchizedek, translates to King of Righteousness. And then he's also known by a title. And that title is King of Salem. Salem, it said, was peace or shalom. Hebrews explains to us why Melchizedek was to get the tithe. Not because he was the priest at the time, but even more so, because he stood as a symbol of Adonai for Ben Elohim, the Son of God. This wasn't a payment. It wasn't a bribe. It was a tithe. A tithe to God. Not to Melchizedek. It wasn't because the earthly king did anything for him. It was just because God is good. And this is why we give a tithe as well. It's not the admission price of a ticket. It's not a way of purchasing something. It's not a way of bribing Adonai to give you more. It's just that grateful heart that we have, or should have, when we give to Adonai. Tithing to Adonai is again reinforced later in Genesis 28 when Jacob makes his vow to Adonai. So Genesis 28:20, then Jacob made a vow saying, "If God will be with me and watch over me on this way that I'm going, and provide me food to eat and clothes to wear, and I will return in shalom to my father's house, then Adonai will be my God. So this stone which I set up as a memorial stone will become God's house, and of everything you provide me, I will definitely give a tenth of it to you." Now, I just said that it's not an admission, it's not a price, it's not a bribe, it's not a this, it's not a that. But here it says, if then. It seems like such a straight if-then statement, but it really isn't. You have to believe me that Jacob was not saying, I'll only do this if you bring me back to my father's house safely and if you provide for me. It really was him saying, because I trust that you will bring me back safely, because I have faith that you will provide for me, I will tithe to you. Jacob and Abram are the examples of tithing. And we can look into scriptures and see many places other than this where there's examples of tithing. It went on for, you know, all time, basically. Even in Nehemiah, it has a mention of tithing. Nehemiah 12, we're not actually told about tithing itself, but we're told there was tithing. Nehemiah 12:44 says, on that day, men were appointed over the storehouses for the offering, first fruits and tithes. They were to gather into them the portions from the fields of the cities required by the Torah for the Kohanim and Levites. For Judah delighted in the Kohanim and in the Levites who were ministering. So we see tithing existed. There was a place to bring in the tithe. There was a place to store the tithe. It existed early on with Abram, with Jacob. It continued on with Nehemiah. It continues on for centuries. Even Yeshua had thoughts about tithing. There are many who say Yeshua never spoke about tithing. But that's really not true. Yeshua did have thoughts about tithing. Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, Torah scholars and Pharisees, hypocrites! You tithe mint, dill, and cumin, yet you have neglected the weightier matters of Torah, justice and mercy and faithfulness. It is necessary to do these things without neglecting the others. O blind guides, straining out gnat while swallowing a camel. Yeshua states that the problem with the scholars and Pharisees was not that they were tithing, but they should have been doing that along with living out Torah. That they shouldn't be picking and choosing what it is that they want to do out of Torah. Never said stop. Stop tithing and do this instead. Stop tithing and be justly. Stop tithing and be merciful. Stop tithing and be faithful. That's not what he said. He said you should continue your tithing, but even more importantly, you should be doing these other things. That's where it's straining out the gnat, but swallowing the camel. He may be saying that justice, mercy, and faithfulness is more important as than tithing, but just because Yeshua puts something else in, just because he emphasizes one thing doesn't mean the other is unimportant. He doesn't de-emphasize, really. He doesn't negate tithing. Now, earlier I spoke about how much I believe in giving. Look how Yeshua viewed the giving from one who didn't have enough to give. Mark 12:42, many of you remember this one. Then a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins worth less than a penny. Calling his disciples over, he said to them, Amen, I tell you, this poor woman has put in more than all those contributing to the box. For they all put in from their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had, her whole living. Yeshua states that this old woman would be blessed, even greater than those who put in much more because of her heart attitude in giving. It didn't matter how much she gave. It was her heart attitude. It wasn't a percentage of what she gave from what she had. It was her heart attitude he was pointing to. She knew what was important, not the amount, the attitude that accompanied it. Which leads to the next point. Sow into what has value for you. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, comments to the Corinthians on giving when he writes to them about the gifts that he received from Macedonia. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 4 says, "Now we make known to you, brothers and sisters, the grace God has given to Messiah's communities in Macedonia, that in much testing by affliction, the abundance of their joy and their extreme poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For I testify that according to their ability, and even beyond their ability, they gave their own free will." They gave of their own free will. "Begging us with much urging for the favor of sharing in the relief of the Keshodim." The Macedonians were going through testing and affliction. They were going through trials, but they still desired to give, to sow into the kingdom, even in their poverty. Didn't matter how much they could do it, they wanted to do it. And that was the important point. To the point that they begged Shaul, "Take my money, please." Again, look at how Shaul describes their giving. It was according to their ability. And I would bet that they gave, as they gave, their abilities increased. Because God is good. The increase is not a reason to give, but it certainly is, I can almost guarantee, a result of giving. You know, sometimes it comes back as an abundance financially. Sometimes it comes back as an abundance in the spiritual, an abundance in the physical, whatever it may be. I know Adonai is faithful. Know his word is true. I know because Rebbeson and I tested him early on when I came to faith. And it's a whole big story that I don't have time to go into today, but sometime ask me about it, because we know the tithing is true. And the final point to make today is Adonai's feeling on giving. That he wants us to be generous. Again, generosity is not a matter of how much you give. Rav Shaul says again in his second letter to the people of Corinth that about this message about giving. He stresses the heart attitude is the important thing behind the giving. Listen to what Shaul says about the people's desire to give. 2 Corinthians 8:12. "For if the eagerness is present, the gift is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he doesn't have. For it is not relief for others and hardship for you, but a matter of equity, equality." He says that if you want to give, then whatever it is that you give will be acceptable. Don't give out of the want you don't have. Right? We're not saying take out of this pot that's supposed to go to pay your electric bill and give here. That's not the way it works. It's not meant to be a hardship. But to help others and to sow into the kingdom. I know there are those out there who say, no matter what you do, you have to give 10% first to your local congregation. I don't think that's what Rav Shaul was saying. I don't think it's what Adonai wants. Keep it within your means, but don't keep it under your means either. It's not meant to be a hardship, but it's not also meant to be, you know, something you do with, you know, a sacrifice. Tithe is sometimes a sacrifice. An offering is sometimes a sacrifice. How do I sacrifice? In my secular life, I would have been able to easily roll in a BMW or something. But I gave well over the what it would have been a car payment. So I had the choice to make, a car payment or tithing. Car payment or tithing. Seems like an easy choice. Gave to the tithe, of course. Still had a car. Adonai still provided. Shouldn't keep you from paying your bills. Shouldn't cause you to have sleepless nights. But just a chapter later, Rav Shaul stresses this in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. He says, the point is this. I can just hear him say it. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one give as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace overflow to you, so that by always having enough of everything, you may overflow in every good work. What is the amount that is sparing or bountiful? That's not for me to decide for you. It's not for others to decide for you. It's for you to decide what is in your heart. What's the right amount? Is it a dollar amount? Is it a percentage? I've always felt in my heart that 10% was right, and sometimes a offering above that. There is a right number for each person, and for each person it's different. For some, it's a smaller number is going to be a greater offering. For those who make, you know, $10 an hour, the number is so much different than someone who makes $30 an hour. And quite frankly, the percentage of the person who makes only $10 and the person who makes $30 should be different as well. Because the one who makes the higher amount should have more discretionary income. And again, if you find that you're making a good income and you don't have discretionary income, you don't have that extra to give to God, perhaps something's wrong and we need to pray. No condemnation there. It's just a principle. This is not a point of salvation. Tithing is not a point of salvation. The only point of salvation is faith in the blood. That's the only thing of salvation. Everything else is next. Salvation is one. Tithing is one of those next things. Am I lining myself up with Adonai? First in salvation by the blood of Yeshua. Next with Torah, with the words that are spoken, with the words that are taught. I don't believe that tithing should leave you poor. but that giving the tithe will leave you rich. Sowing into the kingdom, I believe, is necessary, not just to keep ministries going, but to display your heart attitude towards Adonai, your faith towards Adonai, your faith that He provides for you. Don't look at your income first to determine what's the correct tithe. Don't look into your wallet to say, what's left over and what should I tithe? Look into your heart first and determine, should I tithe? What should I tithe? Then look into your wallet and determine how much should I tithe. I truly believe that's the right order. Know your heart attitude first. Let your heart attitude drive your giving. Let your heart attitude drive your tithing. Let your heart attitude drive your support for your local congregation or for worldwide ministries, whatever it may be. Let the Ruach HaKodesh have His way in your life. Trust in the Ruach HaKodesh. Trust in Adonai. Now, it's not my intention to push people to give more. In fact, I'm really glad we already took up the offering. Because I don't want people saying, "Whoa, that one really hurt. I better throw an extra into the basket." That was not the intent. The intent is to have you look in your own heart. For some of you, hey, this is an easy message. For some, maybe it's not as easy. For some, maybe it's really difficult to hear. But I believe it was a message that was placed for this time, for this day, for those who are hearing it. Don't feel like I'm stepping on your toe, but feel like I'm trying to point you up to Adonai, to looking for His heart, so that you can look into your heart, so you know whether you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You that You provide. Just like You provide for our financial needs, so You provide Your word for us to follow. Ruach, I just ask that for each one of us hearing today, whether today means right now, here in the sanctuary and at home, on live stream, whether today means later today when people will watch it, next week, next year, whatever today is the day you're hearing this word. I pray, Ruach HaKodesh, that on this day today, that You impress upon people's hearts Your words. I pray that for those who follow after You, that You would abundantly bless them. When they follow after You, not just about the tithing, but about each one of Your mitzvot, each one of Your commandments, each one of Your laws, each one of Your instructions, that as we follow after You, that we would find joy first in our heart, because You will be joy, will be happy with us. Ruach, I just thank You for Your word today. Thank You that hearts are open to accept it. We just bless You and thank You. In Yeshua's name, amen.